Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
This is primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can of kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready?
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite show.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is 5:07. Sah! It's Rob and Souk. What's going on?
What's up?
Friday means Set Your College Football DVR 5:15. Joey Harrington, we thought he'd be on the phone today, but he's going to be in studio, I think. That'll be at 5:30. And then love the club. We've got some viral videos out that we need to discuss.
Okay.
One is of, I don't know if you saw it, somebody tweeted it at us. And it's very interesting about the, did you see the catfish video at all?
Yes. I could not for the longest time figure out what the hell was going on.
The backyard fishing video?
Yeah. It's like a minute and a half. I'm like, what are they doing? And then that happened.
Yeah, so we'll explain.
I'm going to catch a catfish with my bare hands.
There is an explanation for that. We'll get to that. And there's an adorable young 11-year-old fat kid who loves Chick-fil-A, and he's just the cutest.
Chick-fil-A is really good. Now, I cannot comment on the Popeyes thing, because I still to this day have not had one of their sandwiches. But the Chick-fil-A, it makes a strong bird. That is excellent chicken.
So that'll be in the club from 6 to 6:45, but right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Upon turning 40, crotch waffle.
And by the way, those stating that we were talking about noodling, no, this is not noodling.
No, this is, well.
This is, well, it kind of is, but it's different.
He noodles at the end, but it's not like
it's
he
different.
Was. Yeah.
It's a mind-blowing video.
It is. Whoever came up with it, it's kind of genius.
Number
that
five.
Those noodling videos, though, that stuff is insane. Like some of those catfish they pull out.
I love it when hots do it.
Oh, yeah.
You ever see that?
That gets you going a little bit, does it?
Hot southern girls down there.
Bikini noodling. Cramming her hand down there.
Whoa. college coaching news.
I got Mike.
Ace in the hole?
Yeah.
Ace in her hole.
What? Ace in the catfish? What?
What?
Clean it
what?
Up.
You're the one that said it.
Why
Gosh.
Did you say that?
You are.
You.
What the hell is you. Going on?
South Carolina gives Will Muschamp the dreaded vote of confidence.
Said he is our coach.
Tell you what.
He is. I wonder what his buyout is, because a lot of times that means that you are their coach because they can't afford to buy you out.
I told you that we were going to go check out the sports book at Chinook Winds tomorrow.
Yeah.
My lock of the week is Texas A&M. And I've done my homework. Mm. Okay? They're favored by 11 over South Carolina.
Is your homework that South Carolina sucks? They did beat
That's
Georgia.
Part of it. Yeah, but their season's shot. Anyway.
By the way, Will Muschamp's buyout. You know why he's their South Carolina? You know why he's South Carolina's coach? $19 million.
Damn. Didn't matter at Florida State. By the way, Florida State Number says it no four. Longer considers Bob Stoops a candidate for its vacancy. Not convenient.
That means that Bob Stoops doesn't want the job.
Okay. Colts get quarterback Jacoby Brissett back this weekend against the Jacksonville Jags. T.Y. Hilton, his stud wide receiver, remains out. The Cowboys get a break as Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford will not play.
Yeah.
Dallas will have wideout Amari Cooper. Eagles running back Darren Sproles is out for the season. He has a torn hip flexor, which sounds terribly painful.
They went and got Jay Ajayi back because no more Sproles.
Yes, they re-signed Jay Ajayi, pending a physical, of course. So there's your hot NFL injury.
I have never had a torn hip flexor, but I'm with you. That does sound really, really painful.
Right?
A lot of times you bring up these injuries, I'm like, oh, yeah, I got that. Because, well, my body's falling
What's
apart.
What's the best injury to have that kept you out? Like, it's not all that bad, but it kept you out. Because I know the worst are, like, what they say, Achilles are really painful.
Yeah, if you snap that. That's, like, my ultimate fear.
Have you ever had a blown out Achilles?
No.
I know Cam's had a couple
of them. He had a couple and ended his career. Cam was on pace to be the highest paid tight end in the NFL, and he snapped it. And then when he came back, he snapped the other one. It is my ultimate fear to snap that. The best one, honestly, is that keeps you out of practice is just a back. Like, he's like, it's like a good nondescript. You just have back pain. It's not that debilitating. You get some muscle relaxers. You have a good time. You're fine.
Washington Post reports Amazon's fearless leader, Jeff Bezos, is interested in buying the Seahawks.
Really? Does Jody want to sell the Seahawks?
The team is currently not for sale, but with the passing of the great Paul Allen, you never know what old Jode is thinking.
Yeah.
Now, Jody is Paul's sister, and she does head the Paul Allen Trust, which now owns both the Blazers and the Seahawks.
Yeah, there was always that talk that they would sell, but there really hasn't been any scuttlebutt about the Seahawks or the Blazers.
The report suggests other NFL owners are keen on the idea of Bezos buying a team.
Well, yeah, I would say so. And would he be the first guy to ever pay cash? Because I'm assuming the Seahawks with everything, let's say like $3 billion.
Just write a check.
I think I'd like to be him to pull up just like an armored car. Just like a couple of those cartoonish money sacks.
Myles Garrett of the Browns, suspended indefinitely by the NFL. You saw the kerfuffle last night at the end of the Steelers-Browns game. The league says he's out for the rest of the season. He would be out for the playoffs should Cleveland make it. He will have to meet with the league in order to be reinstated. So this could carry over into next year.
And I've heard a lot of scuttlebutt from people in the know that think that we're talking probably 10. That seems to be a number that a lot of people think is realistic. He gets 6 this year and then the first 4. Now, the only other one that we can say is similar to this is, remember, Albert Haynesworth stomped on, I think it was Andre Girard's head, the Cowboys O-lineman. And that was just like with his foot, and he got 5 games for it. But this is really kind of a little bit of an unprecedented territory here.
Other actions taken: Browns Larry Ogunobi suspended 1 game, and the Steelers Marquise Pouncey gets 3 games. Both franchises will be fined $250,000. Mason Rudolph gets his own fine for his role in the event, and it has come out now that Mason Rudolph will not be taking any legal action towards Myles Garrett.
Because his attorney said that all options were on the table. The only thing I think the 3 games for Pouncey is ridiculous. Like, I get that you got to give him something, especially for the attempted kick. But to me, sticking up for your guy after something that horrific, to me, 1 game for Pouncey would have been way more in line.
You know what's interesting is when I was watching it, I missed the initial helmet. I missed the initial Garrett hitting Rudolph with the helmet. And all I saw was Pouncey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, like, dude. And so I thought Pouncey was the issue, but you're so right. Like, once I went back and saw him, I'm like, oh, well, that's why Pouncey was going on.
3 games is ridiculous. Pouncey should have gotten a game.
And he's been out of the league for over a year. Gee, I wonder why that is. But he has found a home. Carmelo Anthony is a Portland Trailblazer.
Rob's happy about it.
It is a non-guaranteed contract that will only become guaranteed if he makes it past January 7th. So he will get just under $15,000 a day. So that's a little bit like your salary.
Yeah.
He's at about $795K until January 7th. Neil Olshey, Terry Stotts spoke directly with Melo yesterday before announcing the signing. Anthony says he's been in the gym every single day. The last we saw him, he was with Oklahoma City. And when he was on the floor, they gave up 112 points per 100 possessions. But let's not...
Hey, but he scored, what was he averaging, about 13?
Ah, yes, the old points per game, 13. Yeah, he was.
Hey, what about the 10 games in Houston? I see you're just glossing over that.
So he averages 13 points per game on 77 shots. And hey, look, 13 points a game. That's great. But he claims he has something left. Damian Lillard says he believes Melo can help them. Desperate times call for desperate measures, I guess. Here is something we learned today, though. He will not be in there tomorrow against San Antonio. He will not. He's already on load management, apparently.
Well, I think they said that Tuesday against New Orleans is going to be his debut.
He hasn't even done his physical yet.
That'd be the earliest. It would be Tuesday.
It actually is not an official signing.
No, right, they have not signed him. It's not done.
Yeah.
But
that damn Woj.
It's going to happen. And I'll tell you what.
Well, you can't not now.
If you are going to make your debut, wouldn't you want it against like the worst team in the... Well, actually, that's Golden State. The second worst team.
Didn't the Pelicans just win a game the other night? Who'd they beat? Didn't they just beat somebody? They beat the Clippers.
Did they really?
Yeah, they just beat the Clippers the other night. The freaking Pels, man.
They've won like three games.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, they stink.
They are 14th in the West. And only...
Yeah, I would agree.
Right behind the Blazers.
And by the way...
By the way, you think Melo can take the Blazers from 13th in the West to 14th? Because I think he can.
See, I just don't see... I know that we're in opposite camp. I just don't see any negative behind this. I'm with you in that I don't think it's going to have any sort of positive impact, but desperate times, man. Swinge at the fences.
Uh-huh. Hot 5 at 5 brought to you by Coors Light. Enter to win an Oregon-branded Yeti cooler anywhere Coors Light is sold. Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment. Mighty chill.
Where the big swinge.
That's right.
W-S-I-N-J.
You're
damn right.
Coming up next, we'll set your college football DVR 517 on the Fan.
A Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
We will talk about Miles Garrett. Booping little Mason Rudolph on Thursday Night Football.
Boop.
We're going to talk about that with Joey Harrington coming up in studio in about 10 minutes. But I tell you what, that was a really bad 20 seconds for Mason Rudolph. He gets into it with Miles Garrett, which you're not going to win that.
Well, it was a bad 3 hours because if you saw the game.
That's true.
Ooh.
But the whole sequence was, it was not funny, but to me it was kind of funny. Mason Rudolph picking a fight with a guy who will destroy him.
Yeah.
That guy boops him on his little Mason Rudolph head. Then... He gets shoved down by the other bro. And then as he's getting back up going, hey, what the hell with this guy? His own teammate comes over and knees him in the back of the head.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. But he's really fortunate.
And this is just weeks after he had a massive concussion.
And that's, yeah, no, that's right.
I mean, seriously, though, if that... Like, we can joke about it now. And we all know it's serious, but we're just kind of being tongue-in-cheek here. But that could have been absolutely horrific. If he catches him with the crown of the helmet or the face mask or a sharp edge, the fact that he had recently had a concussion, he could have fractured a skull, split his head wide open. I mean, he both are really fortunate that this didn't end up a lot worse. You just cannot do that. I don't care what happened preceding that. Miles Garrett is damn fortunate and should be happy if he ends up getting 6 games or 10 games, however long it is. He should be happy that he's not in prison and that he's going to get a chance to resume his career. This could have been really bad.
La Musica, Maestro. Maestro-o. Here's what we have tomorrow.
It's a decent little week. 5 top 25 matchups.
Yeah, it is a good little week. Coming up at 9 a.m. tomorrow, your early games. We'll start with the highlight game, and that is, of course, Kansas at Oklahoma State.
Oh, yeah. Is that the big nooner?
That'll be on FS1.
Is that the one we're all fired up about?
That one screams backdoor cover, just saying. Alabama, Mississippi State's at 9. ESPN. Yeah. That's one of those that you don't have any interest in until it's close, and then you have to turn it over there and watch it.
Yeah.
If now, it's close.
Also at 9 a.m., this is one that Colin over on the Action Network, he said was one of his big plays, was Florida at Missouri. He
said it was his biggest play.
He likes Missouri.
Kelly Bryant's coming back this week for Missouri. They have not lost at home. That's on CBS. Also, here's a sneaky, interesting game. Well, maybe I oversold that. Indiana is actually pretty good this year.
Yeah, he scores points, right?
And they're at Penn State.
Yeah, and Penn State's still a one-loss team. You know, they still have to play Ohio State, so Penn State isn't completely eliminated out of this thing
now
yet.
Does the Michigan State-Michigan game interest you?
Nope.
Fox at 9. So the 9 a.m. game.
Whatsoever.
Yeah, but see, that's a big game, though. I mean, Michigan, you know, I guess it's a big game.
It's a rivalry game, but Michigan State, I think, is sub-500. I think they're 4-5, and I don't know if you've seen them play, but their
offense is atrocious.
I'm pulling up their schedule here. So they've lost 4 in a row. They have scored 10-0-7, although they lost to Illinois 37-34, so that's a step in the right direction. You're losing and finally scoring some points.
Wisconsin at Nebraska, 9 a.m., Big Ten Network. Wisconsin, boy, the shine came off Wisconsin, didn't it?
Yeah, the shine hasn't been on Nebraska at all.
Fire Scott Frost.
Not saying that, but it's year two, and Nebraska sucks. I mean, they are They are bad, and it is not like pointed in the right direction. Not like, it's early. They're just a bad football team.
Navy at Notre Dame is at 11:30 on NBC.
I think Navy's ranked, aren't they?
Yeah, Navy's good.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tough game. Oh, Georgia-Auburn is the big one on CBS at 12:30. Interesting game. Colin breaking that down, he was so right about that Georgia-Auburn game.
Oh, he was all over it.
He was like, man, that spread's really good, right? Like, I mean, who knows? These are both teams that play the same way. They have really good defenses. They don't have great offenses. That's one of those games that comes down to, you know, a turnover here or there or a fluke play or something. But he said he thinks Georgia in the second half is the play.
Yeah, it's a big play. He said they're real conservative in the second half, but then they kind of open it
in
up
the
a
first
little
half.
In the first half, and then they make really good halftime adjustments. And so that's
interesting game.
If you're a gambling man, also at 12:30,
wait. Before we move past that game, remember, as an Oregon fan, you're rooting for Auburn there.
Yes.
You want to get Georgia out of there.
You want Auburn to win out, because if Auburn wins out, it eliminates Georgia and Alabama.
And, of course, you lost to Auburn, so you want their resume looking as good as possible.
Yeah, so you're fully on board. But also at 12:30, and this goes to the Joey Harrington thing, you know, he talked about last week about how end of the year, you know, funky things can happen, you know, upsets. Clemson, number three, and we're all just assuming Clemson's in, and they don't really have anyone left on the schedule, but if you want a witch in November to keep an eye on, they got Wake Forest, and Wake Forest has been a top 25 team. They're I think, 7-2. So that, if you want something that maybe no one's paying attention that could end up being a halfway decent game, take a look at that.
That's another one of those that we'll pay no attention to until you read or see that it's close.
Yeah, fourth quarter, you're like, one score?
Better flip over there. That'll be on ABC at 12:30.
And by the way, no one's talking about Clemson at all, but I'm telling you, Clemson over the last, like, month and a half is just rolling people right now.
Iowa hosting Minnesota. That is at 1 o'clock on Fox. I think that's an interesting game.
Well, you're coming off the big emotional win at Penn State. It was your first real test all year. If you're Minnesota, can you now do it back-to-back weeks and on the road?
Yeah, and Iowa's tough. I mean, they're really good defense. I think it's interesting that Colin Wilson pointed this out that, you know, Minnesota. Okay, so Minnesota and Iowa, if you look at them on paper, Minnesota is better than Iowa.
Yeah.
But the thing that Minnesota has, they have a couple guys on the outside, receivers, that are pretty damn good.
They can throw the
ball
deep.
And their quarterback can throw. But Colin Wilson pointed out that Iowa is one of the best teams in the country at defending that.
And one of his big plays was Iowa. He thinks Iowa wins outright.
Yeah, and they're favored by, it's three. Up to four now.
Oh.
Because everybody's jumping on Iowa. I have a tendency to slide towards Minnesota on this because P.J. Fleck, if you look at his teams, he's had some teams that were like this that don't let down. Like, they just keep winning.
Yeah.
And everybody expects them to lose or, the shine's coming. And all they do is win. I think Minnesota's better than Iowa because of their offense. But that's certainly a tough task at Iowa. Iowa's just they're just a meat grinder.
Iowa's a great story. They got Iowa, and then I think there's one game in between, and then they got Wisconsin. And even if they get through all
Iowa?
That... No.
You said Iowa.
Oh, sorry. Minnesota.
Because Iowa just lost to Wisconsin.
Yeah. Minnesota has Iowa, and then I think they have one other game in between it, but then they get Wisconsin, which is another tough test. And if they get through all of that unscathed, the reward they get is...
Would they go to the Big Ten title game then?
Ohio State. Which, there is no bigger hurdle of any team getting in the playoff than that. And so that's kind of the thing that sucks if you're a Minnesota fan is... You could have this magical season, and your reward is Ohio State.
That's a tough one.
Yep.
Stanford is at Washington State. How do we feel about this game? It hasn't gotten a lot of play this week. 1:30 on Pac-12 Network.
I think Costello's out.
Oh, is he?
I think he's not playing.
Ah.
But honestly, these are two seasons.
I can't figure Stanford out.
I can't figure Washington State out either. It's
Washington State's not that good.
Well, neither Stanford.
Well, right, but Stanford has. Didn't they beat? I can't remember. Let's see here.
Washington?
Stanford. Yeah, they beat... Right. They beat Washington.
So did Cal beat... Look, it's a weird year in the Pac-12, but I can assure you, from watching Stanford play multiple times, Stanford isn't good.
Put it this way. After the Oregon... Because Stanford had a really tough schedule to start the year. Northwestern, USC, Central Florida, and Oregon. And they were 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
Then they rally. They beat Oregon State and they beat Washington. So we're like, oh, Stanford.
UCLA kicked their ass.
They lost to UCLA.
Yep. And they just got
They're so weird.
They just got clipped by Colorado.
Colorado beat them.
Yeah.
I think so that's a weird game.
They're sub 500 too, right? I think Washington State and Stanford are both 4-5.
Yeah, but Washington State's only won one Pac-12 game.
Yeah. I mean, you're struggling going bowling.
It's a weird matchup. Okay, LSU is playing at Ole Miss. Upset. See, that's another one. What if that's close late?
I don't know anything about Ole Miss. I haven't seen a lick
Does
of Ole Miss.
Does anyone ever know anything about Ole Miss?
I know they cheat. 100%. Right. But I don't know what Ole Miss has. They're 4-6.
Yeah, all right. Arizona State at Oregon State.
You
know that game will be at 4:30 on FS1.
A bunch of their losses have been fairly competitive, though. They're 4-6, but they're losing by a score to some pretty decent teams. Auburn got them 2014.
You think the Beavers win?
I think the Beavers have a shot. I do not think that they are going to be overmatched. I said this. Oregon State physically can't play with some of the big boys. I don't think Arizona State is one of the big boys. So, yes, I think that there is a real chance here. Plus, Jaden Daniels is beat up, and I don't think he's that good. At Oregon State, I think the Beavers...
Daniels is going to play, though.
Yeah, he is going to play. I think there's a real chance here. This wouldn't shock me at all if Oregon State pulls this out.
It's starting to look like Arizona State, who we were kind of like, oh, look at Herm. It's starting to look like that whole thing about them having a good defense and such was a product more of them playing an easy schedule. Because remember, they played Kent State and Sacramento State, so whatever. Then they played Michigan State, and you just got done telling us how bad their offense
is. It's horrific.
And then they played Colorado, and it's kind of gone south since.
Yep. They've lost, what, 3 of their last 4? Yeah, it's...
They gave up 42 to UCLA.
Yeah, the Washington State was the close win they had, and then I think they've lost 3 in a row.
I think the Beavers win that.
That'd be great.
Should be a good game. That'll be a good game.
That's where I'll leave it at that. I don't know if they win that, but that is going to be a competitive game. That will not be a what we saw from Oregon State when they played Washington.
4:30, Oklahoma at Baylor. Baylor undefeated. ABC, this is Baylor's shot.
Oklahoma's favored by 10, though.
Yeah.
So not a lot of people buying into what Baylor's got going on. They have survived by the skin of their teeth so many weeks.
They have, but you know what? Oklahoma leaves the back door open against everybody.
They got an ace back there.
They have an ace in their hole?
Ace in the hole.
Well, I don't know, man. Baylor's awful tough. Matt Rhule, you know, when he was at Temple, I feel like he's built Baylor much like he built it at Temple. They are really good defensively. They don't scare anyone, but all they do is keep winning. They're kind of like Minnesota.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on Baylor tomorrow. I'm going to take the points.
I'm going to take the Sooners.
UCLA at Utah, 5 o'clock. My lock of the week is Texas A&M, 4:30 on SEC Network.
South Carolina.
They're only laying 11. Texas A&M is going to hammer them.
Utah, UCLA, Utah. I am actually interested in. Believe it or not, UCLA controls their destiny in the Pac-12 South. And they have been playing better ball lately. It's on the road at Utah. I don't think that this is going to be an upset. I don't necessarily think it's going to be that close, but I will keep an eye on that because there's not many, not many late games that are that interesting. I will be watching UCLA, Utah.
And then Arizona, Oregon, 7:30, yeah. ESPN.
I think that thing's a blowout.
And then USC Cal. How about that? You want to talk about an unpredictable game? USC Cal, FS1,
and I think,
8 p.m.
I think Gabbers may be back.
What Garbers?
Or Garbers, not Gabbers.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think he may be coming back.
That true, bro?
I'm going to have to look that up.
I don't think you're right.
I think Dirt and Sprague were talking about that, and I want to say that they said that there was a chance he was going to play.
All right, there's your college football DVR. Joey Harrington in studio next on the... God.
You okay?
No.
You have a stroke again?
Joey Harrington is coming into our studio. He's a former Duck. He is a former NFL star. You know, good looking dude. He's going to talk some football with us. Miles Garrett. So that'll be next. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm ready.
You guys ready?
I am ready.
I see him. He's standing right out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
And, yeah.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Joey Harrington, we thought it would be a phoner today. JC Babes, it is not. This is a surprise.
It's magical.
Joey Harrington has decided to come in studio. Now, we thought he was in Belize building homes for the less fortunate. It turns out he was only vacationing for selfish purposes. But we can look past that because he has come back early
easy,
to be with
easy,
us.
Easy. Vacationing is not for selfish purposes. I'm vacationing for the mental health of my children. It's all about the kids.
He got no enjoyment out of it.
Right? None.
Did you buy that vest? It seems like a vacation vest.
No, you know what? It just seemed to be wearing a vest every time. It's just that time. I'm just kind of a fall vest guy.
It's the vest time.
There's
right
nothing
now.
Wrong with it good the vest weather.
Torsos are cool, and the arms are not. Yeah. You know. So it's good to see a good heavy end.
I'm not a cardboard cutout this week.
No, thankfully.
Mm-hmm. Although I do want to see the one you had sitting in my chair last week.
It's a little uncomfortable. You know, you might.
Was it accurate?
Yeah, it is, but you know, you may be shirtless in it.
Look, I was gonna say, was I closed?
I think you might be a little uncomfortable with it, so I think that's just gonna stay between me and Rob.
We peel off a layer of clothing every time
Major League.
Yeah.
Peel it off.
So this week, I've been thinking a lot about the patented.
Ooh, you sure about that? You okay?
Yeah. First time for everything.
Yeah.
The patented 1080 The Fan Joey Harrington worry meter.
Okay.
Arizona's in town. It's a 4-touchdown point spread. So I thought that maybe we need to have a negative portion of the scale, meaning like you are so not worried about this game that you can roll into the negative. So the scale this week is -225,
okay,
being the least worried,
okay,
to 515 by increments of pi.
Okay, so 3.14159 is your increment.
No phones.
By the way, no one here knows outside of 3.14 if any of that is correct. I hope it is.
No, that was right.
It is. It's 3.14159. That's as far as I know.
Because you could have thrown anything after the 3.1 and both of us would have been like,
oh, yeah.
Sure.
Good.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. You know what? Surprisingly.
You're worried.
Yeah.
Really?
And it's not an extreme worry like the USC was, but you know, so we were on a scale of like to like 1100 for USC, and I was up in the 890s.
As was I. I was a little nervous about that.
Uh-huh. If we're between -225 and 515 by pi, I'm probably going to be sitting somewhere in the. Probably somewhere in the 300 range. And here's why. And this is the only reason.
Uh-oh.
And I've said it every single week for the last, it seems like, month. I keep thinking about Justin Blackmon and Brandon Whedon and Iowa State. And when Oklahoma State was sitting there at the end of the season, a chance to do what they hadn't done in forever, and Iowa State comes in at 5-4 and knocked them off, right? That type of game happens every single year.
Pitt got Clemson a number of years ago, and I think Pitt might have been like a 3-win team.
Now, exactly.
Clemson was, you know, had the resume, and they went on and
wasn't that early though?
No, I think it was. I think it was towards the end of the year.
Yeah, you know what? Next week, I'm actually going to do the research and find these games that every November there is at least one team that surprise, like, completely out of the blue. Like that team had no business losing that game, but because of the pressure and because of, you know, the buildup of the season. Now, I will say that coming off a bye is a huge thing. That's going to be a big, big thing. This bye could not have come at a better time for Oregon, but. You know, I'm not up at like 4.25, but it's still we can move it back. What was I? I was at 300. We can move it down to 296.
So it's
2.8 4.
That sounds
two,
right.
I like
six,
it.
7, I think.
8.
No.
So honestly, though, it sounds like you're not nervous about Arizona. You're just nervous about a game.
Yes.
This is not Arizona. When you look at Arizona, I think depending on what metric you want to use, there's 130 FBS football teams.
Right.
Arizona is 125 or worse in basically every defensive category. So it's almost as if Arizona doesn't scare you. It's just the the witches of November.
Fear scares me.
Yeah.
Well, they can score though. I mean, Arizona, how many times has Oregon been surprised by a bad Arizona team? That seems to happen a lot.
You know, I don't I don't want to say I don't buy that, but I've had more people say that to me over the last week or two. Oh, but Arizona always gets us. No, those are the teams of like Scooby Wright and, you know, those Arizona teams got us.
This team last year kicked their ass. They beat them 44-15.
Okay, fair. But this Oregon team is not as completely different than last year's
Oregon
team, right?
But Arizona can score.
I'm not discrediting that. Absolutely.
So if you're looking at a team, these last three teams that could jump up and bite Oregon, where do you put them? I mean, do you think that, in other words, let's have a worry meter look ahead.
Okay.
I mean, are you more worried about that game happening against an Arizona State or Oregon State?
No, I get more worried as the season goes on. The more pressure is put on each game, the more that's riding on each snap, the more worried I get, because that is, I've been in that situation. You know, you can sit and throw a square out 100 times on October 23rd, right? But if it's December 1st and you got to get a square out to move on to the to the Pac-12 championship game, I mean that's different.
Yeah,
that's different.
My senior year, we were fifth or sixth in the country, chance to be the first ever BCS buster. No non-Power 5 had ever done it. And we were on the road at Hawaii, and I think Hawaii was 5-6, 6-5, something like that, and they laid 72 on us.
Yep. I mean, what happened to Boise when they were making the run, and what was it, Nevada?
Yeah.
Nevada came through. It happens every single year. I'm going to have a stat for you next week. I'm going to do
Please
it.
Please do. You know what's interesting, too, is that if you look at this college football season, there haven't been a lot of those games, and I know you're talking about as the season progresses and it gets later. But if you look at the top teams,
a lot of chalk.
I mean, my God, you had
South Carolina beat Georgia,
yep. And that's really it. Am I missing any other big boy going down to a team that they had no business losing?
Well,
to?
Well, Evansville beat Kentucky, but you know, sorry, we're already doing.
No, I'm trying to think in my head, but because
it's been weird.
We've had like Texas has lost a couple games, but they're not losing to nobody.
Well, they lost to LSU.
They lost to LSU and Oklahoma. So I'm trying to think off the top of my head. You know, Clemson had the close one, but against North Carolina, but they pulled it out. No, you're right. We really haven't had a lot of big boys go down when they have, like with Penn State, you know, Minnesota.
But Minnesota's
good. Minnesota's undefeated.
Yeah.
Well, Kansas State beat Oklahoma too.
Kansas, but how well has Kansas State?
They're looking good.
Exactly. That's not a fluke.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so the worry meter is higher than I think a lot of people.
Yes.
Would
but I generally tend to be conservative on the worry meters because, you know.
Well, he kind of convinced me a little bit because my worry meter was in the negative.
Yes.
I've seen Arizona play and just Arizona's not a good football team. But your point of the Witches of November, to quote the great wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, that is a real thing. And I do not think that I took that into account enough in my worry meter.
Well, by that theory, Oregon State is like, oh boy.
Yeah, you know, and Oregon State
can score
a little bit.
One
before. Why do you think I never threw a touchdown pass against Oregon State? Because I was like all uptight because I knew how much was riding on the game.
That's so interesting because I don't think fans take that into account. I think fans just look at the game in November just like they would look at a game in September.
Not a chance.
Especially
let me tell you, if you walked in here and I told you had to do an absolutely perfect show today, and if you did that, you would be the greatest sports broadcaster in the history of the world. But it has to be today, and it has to be right now. Ooh. Do you think that you would feel more pressure for that show?
No, yeah, I'd do it.
It's like, don't think about the color red.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Red.
Blue. What? All right. Joey Harrington, courtesy BMW of Portland, in studio every Friday. I want to ask you about Myles Garrett.
Ooh, boy.
In the events of last night.
Oh, is that a now thing, or is that an after the break? That sounded like you were setting it up for after the break.
It's going to be an after the break thing, because I think we have a lot to discuss there.
Got some stuff to unpack.
So we will return more with Joey Harrington next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Back with Joey Harrington in studio this week. His worry meter for the Arizona game, higher than normal, to recap last segment.
Well, I wouldn't say higher than normal.
Higher
than Souk originally had it.
Well, yes. Way higher than Souk.
Yeah.
But Souk gives no credit to the idea of an upset ever. He's just like, oh, that team, they're going to kick
Souk
their ass.
Souk exists in a vacuum.
Right.
Yeah.
But
that's what I do.
For you, I think a lot of people are like, oh, Arizona, this is a win. You say, not so fast.
Just take a deep breath.
So we'll keep an eye on that.
Okay.
And then it's Arizona State next week. To the NFL, and I wonder, Mason Rudolph, Myles Garrett, the whole scene last night. It was wild. I wonder if you've ever been in, I mean, obviously not something that bad, but have you ever been in the Mason Rudolph spot of that, of a scrum like that?
Not that I can think of.
Even in practice?
No, I don't think that I, honestly, I would, because number one, and you can back me up on this, fights happen, I don't want to say daily in practice, but it's weekly.
And especially in camp, I think
yes,
it's weekly.
Yeah,
once the season goes on, everyone's hurt and tired and no one wants to fight.
But then you get those, the scout team guys or the red shirts that come in and trying to make a name for themselves.
Fights aren't uncommon. Let's just say that.
And so I think my position where I would always find myself is my job is to see the field, is to see everything that's going on. And I could see the chippiness going on. It's like, all right, here comes Timmy. He's about to push, Bobby's buttons and, he's going to punch him. And sure enough, Bobby punched him. And so I'd just step back and I'd yell, hit him in the face, because I could never understand these guys have helmets on and they're sitting there just taking like haymaker swings and hitting somebody else in the face mask. Like, what are you doing?
I've always thought that was funny myself.
Like, that's the dumbest thing I could ever, and so I just sit there and laugh, like, you're so stupid. Hit him harder in the face, like, because you're just going to break your own hand.
You got to get him to the ground and start kicking.
Look, there you go.
I'll be honest.
There you go. Tell us how you're supposed to fight.
That's what Pouncey did.
I was not the best.
You were that guy.
I was that guy. I had a temper. There's a lot of fat aggression. I hurt a lot.
I can see that.
I was in a lot of fights.
Yeah,
so,
I can see that.
But in all the fights that I've been in, the idea of swinging a helmet at someone, like, and I've even gone to the point where I'm like, the coach has come to me and be like, dude, you need to go apologize. And I'm like, yeah, crap. There just is some things you don't cross. And swinging a helmet at someone that doesn't have one on, I saw that, I tweeted this yesterday, I saw this my redshirt freshman year. And I was on a knee because we were running scout team stuff. And so they were like, everyone take a knee. And two defensive linemen, Byron Frisch and Darren Yancey, both other guys who terrified me already. I'm 18 years old. They start going at it. And one of them rips the other one's helmet off and starts swinging. And it's like right in front of me. And I'm just like, holy hell. Never seen anything like, come from high school and no one fights. It grazed him in the bridge of the nose and left a little slit. And two guys who were just ready to murder each other, when that happened, both of them just stopped. And he dropped the helmet. And there was a realization of, dude, I almost killed someone. I mean, we were an inch away from having that be someone's face disintegrated, full on swing and just barely nicked it. The only thing I've ever seen that even comes close to that, you just don't do it. And practice stopped. I mean, it was a thing. And so to see that last night, that was surreal, because even after all these years, and even though it wasn't that bad, that sticks with me. I remember the names. I remember the look on the face. And to see someone go from an 11 in the rage meter to immediately stopping and realizing what he had just done and how lucky he was to just barely nick it. It was almost like maybe the edge of like the face mask or something nicked the bridge of his nose. It was surreal.
Did anybody get in trouble for that?
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
suspensions?
Yes, it was not. This was, and this was
but
during
it didn't
camp.
Get out.
No, it didn't get out, but this was not one of those things where we glossed over. There was a team meeting. I mean, it was a whole thing. And I learned early on, you do not do that. And he should have known that.
I know he did. I mean, from the way he walked off the field. And then the interview that he did at his locker afterwards, he was the first to say, like, and I was, I don't want to say I was impressed, but I was surprised that there was that immediate level of recognition of what he almost just caused. And he said it, he's like, I'm completely in the wrong. I cost my team. I made a huge mistake. Like, and he was apologetic about it. Here's the issue I have. This was started. Now, let me, before everybody jumps on me here. What Miles did is completely unacceptable. He crossed that line. This was a horrible reaction to an overreaction to what happens quite often. I don't think I'm off base in saying that Mason Rudolph started this, right? Miles Garrett tackled him, right? Mason threw the ball, he tackled him, took him to the ground. At that point, and maybe it was, and I've been in that position where you're just so frustrated. Well, he threw four picks last night, he got beat on the road. Last play of the game, he gets driven to the ground. He goes after Garrett's helmet, and he starts pulling it off, you know, from the backside. And so if you're Miles Garrett and you're down and you feel someone pulling at the back of your helmet, I can understand an escalated response. Mm-hmm. But there has to be a realization that you can't cross that line. So
there also has to be one between practice and games, because as someone who readily, I was an ass. I fought a lot of people at practice. Some of them deserved it. Some of them didn't. Won some, lost some. Never got into a fight in a game, because whether it's in college or in the NFL, you have to be able to know that there's a difference between throwing a punch in practice and throwing a punch out on the field.
Yep. I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on what his punishment should be. I know they came out with an indefinite suspension right now.
Yep.
If you're looking at what has happened in the past, it wasn't Antoine Smith. Antonio Smith, I believe, was the last person to swing a helmet at somebody, and he was only suspended 3 games.
Yeah. Albert Haynesworth is the one that people are pointing to. He's the one that stomped on. It was Andre Girard.
Yeah.
And he got 5 for that.
But he didn't have his helmet on, right?
Didn't have his helmet on. Girard's helmet had come off, and Haynesworth,
that's right,
stomped on his head.
I thought he got five.
I think he got 5.
And then Vontaze Burfict got 12, but that's for a compilation.
I mean, that guy shouldn't even be in the NFL anymore.
No.
I mean, he's lost his privileges.
Yes.
I don't know. I think there's no way to disagree with the fact that this was a horrendous decision and a horrendous act by Miles Garrett. But I think there's a lot more blame to go around. And frankly, I think I'm going to be a little disappointed if Rudolph isn't involved in this punishment somehow. Pouncey's out, and
the other D lineman that shoved him. Rudolph got fined, but no suspension.
Did he? He got fined.
He got fined, but he is not suspended. So the other defensive lineman, whose name escapes me, he got a game. Pouncey got 3, and then you're talking at least 6, and if they make it to the postseason, because he's done for the rest of the year.
Because Rudolph got up and charged him. Yep. I mean, that's I don't know. I'm having a hard time a little bit with that.
I think a lot of people are like that. I've seen a very split reaction of people on both sides of the camp here.
This would not have happened had he not gone after Miles Garrett's helmet. And at that point that he then got up, he escalated the situation by continuing to go after him when Pouncey and had Garrett. I mean, that could have just been
DeCastro is the one that had him.
Yes.
It could have stopped then,
but then Rudolph gets up and goes back at him.
Yeah. And I think there is a still shot. I haven't, the footage is when they're underneath, it's hard, but there is a still shot that does appear that he kicked him in the, you know, cash and prizes.
Kicked him, yeah, because he was trying to get him off of him. Yeah. He was like, get off me.
Yeah, so that Garrett was after this, Garrett had him by the helmet, and it looks like Mason Rudolph brought the leg up.
Let me ask you this. Is it a little bit of an indictment on the game? And I don't even say an indictment on the game. It's just like this leap we're taking that, okay, you play this very violent sport, and yet you cross a line, and then we're flabbergasted that you crossed this line, right? It's like, I mean, like, the joke's on us. Like, this game, sometimes really bad things that shouldn't happen are going to happen, because I think it's interesting that it's Miles Garrett. That dude, by all accounts, is a mild-mannered, very bright, level-headed dude.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not Vontaze Burfict, it's Miles Garrett. And Miles Garrett gets kicked in the nuts, accident or not, quarterback's coming at him, the game's over, it's been a long night, and he goes not just across the line, but he obliterates the line. I mean, is it bad of me to say that that's, look, it shouldn't have happened, of course, but it's going to happen. It's football.
Like, for as outraged as everybody is, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think there's a difference between saying that's not okay and being surprised that it happened.
That's a really good point. Right. And I don't know if I've heard anyone else make that. And I don't think I could have said it better about my feelings. And I think he should be done. If he's gone for a part of next year, it wouldn't bother me. If you want to give him a year, it wouldn't bother me. But to your point, I am not surprised at what occurred.
Yeah, I'm not in the camp of having him sit out next year. How many games are left? Six?
Six. Six. And then what if they do make the postseason, he won't be eligible for that.
He obliterated their season. Look, they're probably not going to the playoffs anyway. But if you see their schedule, they have some winnable games. They've got a shot at the playoffs because they won that game last night. It's obliterated now. Right. He knows that.
Right.
He's our best player.
Right.
So, I mean, it's there's a lot of damage done here.
Yeah, I think that I would probably be on board with the sixth game to end the season. I mean, in context of what Haynesworth did, in context of what happened. God, I'm drawing a blank. It's not Antoine Smith. It was one of the first multi-game suspensions. Yeah. And he got 3 games for swinging his helmet at somebody.
Well, Myles Garrett is lucky that he hit him with the soft part.
And that's what I told people. The ear hole bends.
Yes. You hit that with the, and by the way, today's helmets are pretty light. You get hit with one of those old Rydells, or you get hit with the crown, or again, where the helmet bolts together. A lot of sharp, jagged edges. Because I will tell you what, this is a much different conversation today if he gets hit with one of the sharp edges, the face mask, the crown of the helmet, because at that point, his head is split wide open, there's blood everywhere, and there's a good chance that Mason Rudolph isn't getting up right away. Well, and he should feel real lucky that that's the part of the helmet that hit him.
The point that my wife brought up is, remember, this Rudolph's the guy who got hit, who literally got knocked into next week was out. I mean, he's already spent how many weeks out because of a massive head injury? Yeah. Had he taken that blow from the square part of the helmet in his head this soon after a concussion, the repercussions could have been massive.
Yeah, so he should feel, whatever he gets, he should feel fortunate. I was surprised at the NFL takes care of their own. You know, the players have that, kind of, we all stick together. I was kind of surprised at how many players, current players, that came out and were like, this is not okay. Garrett shouldn't play. I mean, there was a lot of blowback, and that to me was the one where I was like, wow, because normally you don't see that to get a current player to come out and take that kind of stance. And it wasn't one or two guys. I mean, there was 10 of them within an hour of this,
right?
That came out and were saying, hey, done for the year. And I don't care if he plays again. It's a bold move when you manage to crack that fraternity of players.
Joey Harrington in studio every Friday, courtesy BMW of Portland, Portland's only BMW dealer, where relationships matter. BMWPortland.com. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely. I'm going to have the stats for you next week.
Please do. That'd be great.
I'm going to have a lot of stats. I'm just going to be... We didn't do story time. We can do story time next week.
Oh, wait. Yes, let's do story time next week. Did you know... was it Charles Rogers?
Yeah.
Passed away.
Yeah.
You played with him. I'd like to talk to you about him next week.
Yeah. We will. Okay.
You had an affinity for him a little bit.
Yeah.
It's complicated, he
was a complicated guy. Yeah. But obviously we're coming to the end of the time, but I think we'll talk more next week, but if you have one thought about Charles, just know that he was a good-hearted person. He was a good-hearted person who had a lot of people pulling him in a lot of different directions.
It's unfortunate too when someone doesn't have success on the field. Whether it's their fault or not, and we know that he had some off-the-field troubles, but it's unfortunate when people take that and then it's an indictment on someone's character or it's an indictment on this, I'm with you on that. I think it's tough sometimes when you see someone that personally is getting judged simply because he wasn't a success at a sport.
Yeah.
Tune in next Friday, 5:30, Joey Harrington in studio. Up next in the club, we go backyard fishing on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.